Recovery 101, hurrah, hurrah. Recovery 101, hurrah, hurrah. It's time for recovery, it's time for recovery. It's time for recovery on 101. It will be time to have some fun, hurrah, hurrah. It will be time to have some fun, hooray, hooray. With Mark and Shelly and Bruce too, we'll have some fun on, we'll have fun on Recovery 101. The Peanut Gallery will shout and scream, hurrah, hooray. The Peanut Gallery will shout and scream, hurrah, hooray. The Peanut Gallery will be he there to shout and scream when we get there. And it's all time for Recovery 101.
Thank you to Bill for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle.
Wow, blast from the past.
A crowd favorite. What's the word? What do they call it? Like a movie that...
Cult classic.
A cult classic. It's a cult classic today from Recovery 101. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NEOA, CIGA, PASLA, SLA, CRRR, MMDRA. Did I already say HA?
Yeah.
None of them guys.
MPA.
The NRA, the NSA, the TSA.
You don't speak for the DA?
Nobody. Nobody! Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Sweet.
Dude. Sweet.
All right. So, it's been blazing hot in California lately. Not too bad today. But, like, last week...
Warmish.
You guys got to get this app. It's a free app. It's called What the Forecast, WT Forecast. And when you... Depending what it's like on each day, it will give you a kind of a what the F kind of thing for whatever the weather is. So, for instance, I'm opening this up right now and does a different one every time you open it up. It's absolutely free. It says, it's warm, so you better stay hydrated. Just remember, beer has a shit ton of water in it.
There you go.
What did it say, Shelly, the other day when it was like 104 out?
Something it was hotter than a sriracha's enema. Or something. Oh, no, that one was.
Oh.
Yeah, that one was Satan has made us his bitch or something like that. My phone, because the WT forecast is different for different people, mine says sunbeams or death rays, you decide. And it's actually 75 right now, so it's not that hot.
It's very comfortable out.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. So, Shelly's taking a break.
Is she? From meetings?
From church?
Program?
Oh, no. Oh, Shelly, why don't you lay on Mark your sponsee situation right now?
What's up your sponsee situation?
Let me premise this first.
I remember last week.
Do you remember a few weeks ago when she was like, I have nothing to give, I'm not sponsoring anybody?
And then she went into the panel and picked up all new sponsees.
Oh, no.
I got a couple that, burning myself.
They turned into rabbits and started effing, and now there's a bunch of them.
I got a couple of sponsees that day, and they're both, neither one of them can come out of the facility, so I have to go in. And I went on Saturday. I scheduled one for 2 o'clock and one for 3 o'clock to start some step work and stuff. While I was there with the first one, a girl pops her head around the corner and says, oh, wow, are you a sponsor? Will you help me?
Okay.
And I was like, okay, yeah.
And did she say something like, are you working steps?
Yeah. And then, you working steps? And then, so I finished up with the first one. My second sponsee I sent for her. I just settled myself in the library and they just send them in, right?
Send for sick ones.
So then when I was done with my second sponsee, I said, there was that girl that came in. Do you know what her name is? Oh, yeah, I do. And 2 minutes later, this girl comes back. She's got two more girls with her. And she's like, do you have time for all of us? And I'm like, I just said, oh, sure.
All at once. Sit down.
What I said was, oh, sure. Rack 'em and stack 'em.
Shelly missed the recovery home experience where it's really kind of difficult in a place like that to get sponsors.
Yes.
Hence why they take people to outside meetings. But, like, if you haven't been there that long, they're probably not even going to any outside meetings.
Well, so they're not going to outside meetings because they've been banned from the two closest local places to go because of the amount of hooking up that was going on around
There's probably a little hooking up inside that facility as well.
Well, now, did they get banned by the their facility?
Their facility will
not
let them go, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because they're not at 667 at all.
Oh.
Which I don't understand. That's
which is kind of surprising.
Not good for their recovery.
Yeah.
Well, especially 667. 667, because you know, at 667, if there was a bunch of young recovery home chicks in there, older CA guys there just wouldn't stand for it. They'd shut that shit down right now.
But you've got the brick house right behind there that has a bunch of guys that are
new. But the older CA guys will shut down the guys from the brick house.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Second.
We do. There was a girl there Friday night who, you know, young, attractive, 100 days, you know, so she's just starting to get her groove back. And a couple guys were, like, starting to, you know, position themselves and
we're getting close.
Yeah. And Michael
let me give you the extended
and Michael and Marty and Arthur and I were all there and kind of formed a little picket fence.
So Shelley, how many do you have now?
Five.
Five. Went from
be
zero
careful
to
what
five.
You ask for.
I didn't ask for this at all.
Well, yeah, you asked to feel worthwhile.
No, what I said was I want to take a break because I'm a little bit burnt out on the revolving door. Oh. So I took a little break, and now I didn't ask for any sponsees at all. All I said was, oh, sure, I'll go on your panel.
Did you happen the day that you said you're going to go on that panel in the morning? Did you happen to turn your will and your life over to the care of God as you understood him?
Well, apparently I did.
Well, there you go.
Well, and two of them.
Careful what you pray for.
Two of the sponsees I actually have to work with because they're prison remand.
Oh, those ones. Okay.
Yeah. So I'll be in the lockdown part of the lockdown.
Sure.
So that's a little bit heftier.
The in-house hookup.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah. So, but, you know, one of them.
Don't take your phone in.
I can't. I didn't take anything in. I took my license, my car keys, and some big books.
A file and a derringer.
I take my phone in there. I'm a rebel.
No, I don't take my phone in there. And then I just took, I got Bruce to pick up some big books and a 12 and 12 for me. And I just, that was all I took in there with me.
Perfect.
Big books and 12 and 12s. Not so cheap anymore.
Not anymore.
Holy crap, it was $31. These bitches better stay sober.
I remember when it was $5. And if you got like the paperback one, it was like $3 or $4.
It was like $3.50 for the paperback.
Now for two paperbacks and a hardcover 12 and 12 was $31.
Yeah.
Hell yeah! You know why? They gotta get all that money so they can fight that big court case for the manuscript of the big book.
Okay, enough of that.
Oh, there's an update on that though.
Okay, well we'll get there.
Well, we don't.
Oh,
no,
we
it's
don't
not
have it.
So far,
no. Okay, what's the update?
Alan, our friend Alan B. Alan Bilski, who by the way in the New York area you can look him up. He's a supreme IT guy. He sent me a link which I haven't actually read. He sent it to me on Facebook.
You like to know that,
the
Alan?
Courts did.
She doesn't read your shit.
No, I just haven't read the link. I read his note.
His synopsis.
The courts have put a stay of execution on the
sale
of the book until it can be the issue can be examined.
Right, because they want to find out providence.
Yeah, so there more will be revealed.
Shelley has one more big news. Don't you, Shelley?
What? I do?
Does she?
You don't have another big news, Shelley?
July. I'm off church for the month.
Are you effing kidding?
I don't know if God likes that, but I skip church on month every summer. I skip July. I just don't go.
Okay. What do you got, Bruce?
Oh, that's right. I'm the boss of Bruce. I am officially, legally, according to the state of California, I am the boss of him.
You're just out figuring that out, pal?
She's a store owner.
Put the store in my name.
Good.
I'm going to be doing the books. I'm going to log in with QuickBooks and get a payroll system. And then he will have an actual salary. And everything will be tickety-boo and on the up and up.
Get a salary. Get a credit card.
Hell no, man. I'm selling shit out the back door.
Okay.
No, you're not.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm already driving him crazy because we opened up the business account and now we've got the actual location and he's got to get like a desk and, you know, stuff like that. And every time he leaves the house, I'm like, get receipts, make sure you're using the right card. I need receipts.
Shelly's a lot less shoot from the hip than I used to be. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he accidentally used the business card for cigars the other day. I'm like, we got to pay that back. You can't use.
That's business.
No, it's not.
That's business.
It could be. It could be.
He bought a couple of cigars.
I used to write up because there was a while, there was a short time where I gave away a premium cigar if you bought a premium bed.
Yeah.
And I rode that for quite a while.
It goes under M&E.
But we're not doing.
And I didn't.
It was like
do
two
it.
Cigars. He's not going to give those away.
Look,
he smoked them.
Yeah, one was his, one was mine. It was M&E.
Thing. I didn't do it on accident. I did it on purpose because I knew there was money in that account to cover it.
And I told you there was money in our account to cover it.
Yeah, well. So, Mark, what's going on with you?
I'm just sitting here watching YouTube.
That's kind of my thing, too, what she just talked about.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here watching YouTube.
Yeah, well, you know.
Because watching YouTube is better than watching YouTube. The YouTube channel.
The YouTube. Yeah, actually, that's funny.
Yeah.
So. You know what? That would be a great name for a channel.
Uh-huh.
YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube/YouTube.
And one of the younger crowds, it'll be called the Two Utes.
Oh, my God.
What is a ute?
No, what do you got going on?
What's a ute? Yeah. No, not really. I mean, just, you know, my son's flying in tomorrow.
Nice.
Staying for an entire week, which I am really excited about.
That's awesome.
As opposed to normally when he flies in and flies out 2 days later and I get to see him for about 30 minutes. He's
Say 10 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, how'd the thing go with the girls? Didn't you go down?
It was awesome. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Last weekend. It was awesome. Had fun.
Because you were talking about going to see them.
Yeah. It was my Father's Day, so I was going down there, and they asked if I would do turkey burgers. And I didn't realize that meant I was also doing all the barbecuing. And that I was, you know, so, but I had a blast.
I have a feeling that you're pretty good around a grill.
I've been known to shuffle my way through.
I watched a thing on YouTube the other day called, they have a whole bunch of them, like Irish people try such and such for the first time. They're like, Irish people try American barbecue. And they're having some kind of ribs that were, you know, cooked for 14 hours and everything. And these guys are like, yeah, well, you know, in Ireland when we do a barbecue, you know, it's like a guy in his skivvies with an umbrella out there cooking hot dogs or something. This one woman goes, well, I don't even like ribs. And she goes to eat and she's like, oh, my God, these are fantastic.
Yeah.
And they have pulled pork and all these different things. It really was kind of interesting to watch. Yeah. Shelly didn't find it nearly as interesting as
I did. I'm not really big on those things.
Yep.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's tough when you go to people's houses and they want you to grill because you're working on, you know, you don't have your home court advantage. You got to learn where the hot spots are. And
I
well, that's true because
we have
all
no
grills are different.
Mm-hmm. We have no hot spots because we have this kick-ass gas grill out there and no tank. So, it has sat there for since God made dirt.
Yeah.
It's now growing into the soil.
Yeah,
we've never used it.
You know what that means?
What?
Oh, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. That's called the doo-doots on meth right there. We have shout-outs. We have a lot of shout-outs. Bill, Fran, Natalie, Susan, Stryker, Lori, Faith, John, Johnny.
John, Johnny?
Yeah, we got J-O-N, J-O-H-N, and J-O-H-N-N-Y. Carol, Sally, Lisa, Joey, James, Mitch, Randy, Dan, Dakota, Georgette, Jack, Jane, Alexandria, Joe. We've also got a bunch of Joes because we got Joe, Joey, and Joseph. Peter, Anthony, Alan, Neil, Wendy, and Damon. Whew. That's a mouthful.
Shout.
Now, a lot of people got those for sending in boozy news. Other people got those for commenting. Other people got those because they are patrons on Patreon.
Okay.
Which, once again, we want to thank you guys for being our patrons on Patreon. That always gets me.
Are we up to our official inaugural first 100 members yet?
No, not yet.
No.
Getting there, though, huh?
Our first 100 patrons?
Yeah. On our way.
9%.
On our way.
We're on our way. So, this is sent in by Wendy, a.k.a. Ocean Lever BC, which I'm sure is British Columbia. This is for Dawson City in the Yukon. This is kind of disturbing, even for an alcoholic. A mummified human toe that is the key ingredient to a strange drink is back where it belongs. The thief returned the stolen toe. It's popular for its the bar is popular for its sour toe cocktail. So the Royal Canadian Mounted Police said the toe, which is used in the hotel's popular sour toe cocktail, vanished on Saturday after being added to a drink at the hotel bar. They received a call on Tuesday that the guy that took it mailed it back to the hotel with an I'm sorry note. He said, I was drunk. I'm sorry I took it. There's a picture of the toe that was in the article where it is this dark brown mummified toe. And apparently what you have to do
is when really disgusting.
When you go to drink the drink, you have to kiss the toe first.
Oh.
So they can only serve one of these at a time.
If they've only got one toe,
see,
then yeah.
See, when I first read
they need, they need more toes.
When I first read it, I thought they were putting a little tiny piece of the toe in, but they're not. You have to kiss the toe. Let's see.
The alcohol kills
disgusting.
The alcohol kills the germs.
Yeah, according to the tradition, drinkers must allow the toe to touch their lips in order to join the Sour Toe Cocktail Club.
And that's a club I don't need to join. Just saying.
Yeah. And there's going to be no charges filed.
There's a fetish in there somewhere.
Per the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, they're not going to get their man on this one because they're not going to try. Now, Frantastic sent this one in.
Hi, Fran.
And when I first read it, the first line made me take a double take because it says, "Purple woman stuns doctors by asking for even bigger breasts for very bizarre reason."
I saw the picture of this woman.
So this chick is literally purple.
Yeah.
She's not like dark purple, but she's like this lavender color
purple.
Okay.
She has fairly large breast implants. Apparently she's trying to become this well-known cosplay girl.
They're not fairly large. She's got some jumbo knockers. I mean, they're not just... Well, they're fairly large. Well, no.
When she was 18... She had them put 850 cc breasts in her.
That's an overfill.
This is some American TV show called Botched.
That's an overfill.
And this girl's name is Bunny, and she told the guys on the show
bunny.
She wanted to have this plastic surgery, and the guy asked her. He says, "So this is so you could do your cosplay thing?" And she says, "Yes, my first surgery was." This is a quote. "My first surgery was when I was 18." And I had to add to this, by the way, she has massive boobs. But the reason this is a story is she's asking for an additional 2,000 cc's. Now, right now, she looks triple the size of Dolly Parton at her before she had her reduction. I mean, triple the size. And
the story never tells you why her skin is purple, though.
Yeah, no, it doesn't say anything about that. But it just alludes to the fact she wanted to be this cosplay person. Now, the doctor said, you know, doing breast implants alone on an 18-year-old is fairly controversial. To do them with 850 cc's, he says, is downright wrong. You shouldn't be doing that for an 18-year-old anyway. He goes, then she comes to us to ask for an additional 2,000 cc's. And he's like, well, they didn't say they weren't going
to
do it.
They have to stack the implants.
Yeah, they didn't say they weren't going to do it. But according to her, you know, that lots of girls doing cosplay, like they use these padded bras and everything, try to make their boobs look bigger. And she goes, I just wanted that unnatural look.
She has purple skin. She can't get any more unnatural.
Right?
And we still don't know why she's purple. That's the thing that disturbs me. I want to know how she... I mean, when I say she's purple, she's not, like, painted purple. You're looking at the pictures, you're like, wow, her skin is purple. I mean, it's like, how did she do this?
Is this an all-over body tattoo
or something?
How do it do?
We know why, but, you know, come on. So,
I mean, you'd have to eat a lot of beets to get purple skin.
As per usual, Fran was on fire this week. This is Dateline Thailand. They have a sweet shop there. It's a new dessert being sold at this sweet shop. It's no joke, but it could make you gag.
Ew.
It is a coconut pudding shaped incredibly like a bowel movement.
Ew, why would you want to eat that?
It is the it's the star pastry at Walewan Dessert Shop in Patum Tanai.
Okay, so let's recap here. Giant tits, mummified toe, coconut poop pastry.
Why are you letting Bruce do the news?
Oh, there's... hey, I didn't come up with
the computer out there was like...
I didn't come up with
I would have
these.
Had the same ones. Because
it was fantastic.
Fran.
Now...
the computer out there was broken, and I was like, not feeling well. I had so much scrap to do.
These jelly-like desserts, they sell for a buck. Now, wait for it. Customers aren't exactly flushed with excitement. The website said that...
oh, my God.
People have said things from it's disgusting to others say it's interesting, but I'm not going to eat it. There's actually a video with the story of this kid. He's not being made to eat it, but he just doesn't look too interested in eating it. Now, here's the weird thing.
Oh, we have a weird thing.
It's not...
Are they wearing pirate outfits?
It's not the most tasteless-looking item. They have a pastry that looks almost like a fetal Shar Pei puppy that you eat.
A fetal?
Fetal.
Fetal, okay.
Fetal.
Is this anything like a Chamberlain?
Really small, but it looks amazingly like a Shar Pei. But it's...
What
know,
does
kinda,
a Shar Pei fetus look like?
Well, like a little tiny Shar Pei
looks
doggy.
Like a, looks like a little wrinkle.
Yeah, just it's really lifelike looking, though, which is kind of ooh, because you know what it reminded me of? Those pigs that you would go to dissect in school, and they're like that weird color because they've been in like a formaldehyde bath the whole time.
We didn't have pigs. We had cats.
Ooh.
Yeah, we had cats.
Okay, I found this one.
Midnight.
You know how the self-driving cars thing is taking root all over the place. So Volvo is doing this testing in Australia because they have this vehicle animal detection system that is supposed to, like, if there's a horse or a moose or a cow in the road, this thing avoids it.
Uh-huh.
It's a problem, though.
What's the problem?
Kangaroos are the problem.
Doesn't
this thing
kangaroos?
Can't miss a kangaroo to save its life because it's the way it looks is it looks at the ground and the animal in relation to the ground and it makes a judgment on how far it's got to move. But when kangaroos are jumping, it can't judge the relationship between something in the air as with something on the ground.
Ah.
And which is a big problem in Australia because there is a number here somewhere. 80% of vehicle collisions with animals in Australia involve kangaroos. So, and there are 16,000 kangaroo-related collisions every year. So, if your Volvo can't avoid the kangaroo, I don't know if you want a self-driving Volvo in Australia.
I think if it's that difficult to avoid hitting kangaroos, then maybe you should take a bus. Just a thought.
I wonder how many of those 16,000 kangaroo-related collisions every year are with a bus. You know, when I lived in Oregon...
Yeah, but then it wouldn't be my fault.
When I lived in Oregon, a big problem was hitting a deer, because there was lots of deer. And the problem is, if you hit a deer, it's going to take their legs out from under them, and their entire full couple hundred-pound body weight is going to come right through your windshield. And then the deer is going to be really hurt and is going to kick the living crap out of you with, if it can, with its legs or left. It's a really disgusting kind of thing.
Yes.
So, Neil, my friend Neil, sent this in. He said, this is a waste of water, air, and everything. This woman, a mortgage underwriter, she literally watched her leg explode when she was hit by a drink and drug-crazed driver who told the police, I'm an animal, I smoke weed every day. She had just put her dog to sleep.
Oh.
And this guy lost control of his Ford Focus and crashed into her. The force of the impact propelled other vehicles, all of them crushing against this Mini Cooper that she was in. She woke up 8 hours later in the hospital to find that she didn't have a leg.
To stand on?
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The matter of fact, the guy who hit her, he had never taken a driving test, had fled the scene, but was arrested while trying to get into a taxi. He had been spinning in and out of pub parking lots all night, apparently, and he was high on cannabis and cocaine as well as the alcohol.
Ah, his own version of a pub crawl.
He told police, first time I bought a car, got no insurance. I'm an animal. I smoke weed every day. Provisional, no insurance. I shouldn't have really been driving that car. Caused this woman to lose her leg, but he's going to go to jail for 3 years.
As okay. well, he should.
I found this, and then I noticed that Fran found this as well. So Norway is really pissed off. There is this thing called the Trollpiken.
The what?
The Trollpiken. Which means troll penis.
Oh.
Which is a rock, that's strange rock formation that sticks out of the side of this mountain that looks amazingly like an erect penis.
Hard as a rock?
Loosely translated as the troll dick. It was the number one tourist destination in Egersund for hikers and climbers. But someone apparently went and drilled through the top of it. They can see evidence of drilling.
They pierced
and
it?
Drilled it right off. Interestingly enough, the rock is, they're not sure exactly what happened because the rock's not there anymore, and it's not small. So they can't really figure out what happened. But whoever is found that did it, vandalism of the Trollpiken is worth 6 years in prison.
I don't even know what to say to that.
They say there's evidence and we've got pictures. Yeah.
So you go to jail for 6 years for vandalizing a dick.
A rock dick.
A rock dick.
They value their hard dicks.
Now, we've got another one from Fran. Can you live this fantasy life? From, I love the name of this place, Rabbit Hash, Kentucky.
Sure.
That sounds
wonder what they serve for breakfast.
Being mayor in Rabbit Hash, Kentucky is a rough job, but someone's got to do it. Rough, R-U-F-F.
Ah.
So a small Kentucky town has for the fourth time reelected the mayor, Jordy Bamford. Oh, no. Bryneth Paltrow. Paltrow. Her three-year-old pit bull.
Bryneth Paltrow.
Oh, it says for the fourth time, but it's only 3 years old. Mm. Bryneth Paltrow beat out a cat, a chicken, a donkey, and among others to become the next mayor of Rabbit Hash.
Sure.
So there's no surprise to me that it's named Rabbit Hash if they've had a donkey, a chicken, and as a mayor. I mean,
well, people wonder, as you might, why the hell are they electing animals?
It's Kentucky.
It started as a fundraiser in the 90s.
I just lost five viewers.
So they listeners. Don't actually, obviously, become the real mayor. But what they do is you have to pay $8 to vote for the animal mayor. But you can vote as many times as you want. So my guess is that this woman, Jordy Bamforth, is probably poor right now because she probably pays a lot to get him elected every year. Normally, it goes towards town improvements, but this year it's going to help repair the town's general store that was destroyed by an electrical fire, which must not have had insurance, I'm guessing.
Christopher Robin must be very happy.
No, there's a sad story later, though, but it doesn't have to do with Christopher Robin, but similar.
I just realized I'm crunching ice into the mic. Sorry, everybody.
Okay, Neil sent this one. We'll do this for the last one on this. So, this father was walking down the street and literally got hit by a bus And I mean, there's video of it. This guy gets whacked by a bus, gets up off the ground, immediately walks into the pub and orders a beer.
He's a professional.
And the guy's like, Neil said, you know, well, what else would you do after getting hit by a bus?
Sure.
It sent debris. It hit other things, too. It smashed into a shop a couple seconds later and crap flying everywhere. And they went to look for the guy, and they found him on CCTV footage. And that's how they know where he went, because you can clearly see him walking to the bar. And he said he was intending to go to the pub anyway, and because he didn't really feel hurt, he just figured he'd
No sense changing your plans.
Yeah, nothing is going to get between me and my beer.
I mean, that guy is clearly an alcoholic. First thing I thought.
Clearly a drinker.
And that, my friends, is the end of the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
Recovery 101 Radio is a program based loosely on 12-step recovery programs. The format is less like a meeting and more like going to coffee afterwards. The meeting after the meeting, as it were. We used to suffer from insanity. Now we enjoy it. Find us at recovery101.net.
We're back. Presenting the Recovery 101 look at step one.
Yay.
Yes, it's that time of year again, my friends, for us to go through the steps and give you our opinions on how you should work them, I think would be the proper way to put it. What do you think, Shelley? Step one. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol or whatever your substance is. Our lives were unmanageable.
Sorry, I'm trying to wake up from the boozy news.
That was a huge yawn.
Sorry.
Wow. Hey, Neil, Wendy, Fran, I think Shelley just dissed you.
Well, I'm tired to begin with because it's been a long day for me. Even though I didn't really go anywhere except for Aldi's, I had kind of a...
Come on,
She wasn't doing the news.
The boozy news had buses crashing into alcoholics. It had sucking on
purple
mummified
chicks.
Toes to drink. And, you know, it had a troll dick getting sawed off the mountain. I mean,
you were
on.
Sort of like your Joe Scarborough without your Mika Brzezinski.
Yeah. Maybe troll picking.
Maybe it's the delivery. I don't know.
Wow. Wow.
She can say that, but I've had many people tell me they just like the way I do the news fine. So there you go.
All right.
Not to mention the fact that Shelley asked me to do it.
Bruce,
Shelley asked me to do it,
Bruce,
then she's going to complain about what she gets.
Bruce, you can only make up so many accounts.
Yeah.
No, you do fine, sweetie.
That's an excellent idea. I can tell you, James Randi and Terminally Unique is going to love it.
What are you asking me?
Your opinion on step one,
your comments on step one.
Something besides you have to work it perfectly.
Yeah, I mean...
What do you have to work perfectly?
Step one. That's it.
Oh, well, who's the lead on music,
guys? I know. Well,
Forever Amber, we're out of here. No.
Yeah, really. Good night. If you can't do... The problem with step one is that oftentimes people do step one, which basically if you are in the rooms and you are raising your hand, you're saying you're an alcoholic or an addict, you're halfway there.
It's a good step.
Yeah.
Toward it.
You've admitted you're powerless.
Complete defeat.
The problem is that usually people refuse to get to the unmanageability part, and a lot of times they aren't the ones who said their drinking was out of control in the first place. So
their wife, their spouse,
yeah,
their mother.
Somebody said, you need help, so they go and get help. They say, oh, I need help. I'm a real alcoholic. And they haven't really actually internalized the first step. So that would actually be the first step to the first step. Internalize it first, then go to a meeting, raise your hand.
Well, Mark, we've talked about this many times on shows. The people that come in, that they're not completely defeated.
No.
That's been a bone of contention on our show many times about, you know, mom catches the kid smoking weed one time, tells him he needs to go to a meeting. That's not exactly a bottom.
Yeah.
Mom thinks it is because she's like, oh, my God, my kid is doing drugs.
No.
Yeah, he is. Well, so what do you think about step one, Mark?
I think the biggest problem isn't somebody admitting that they're powerless. It's them staying powerless.
That's a very good point.
because, you know, we walk in the rooms, we're there for a few weeks, we get our groove back.
I resemble that remark.
Get a few dollars in our pocket.
Get a honey.
And, well, if you got the money, you got the honey.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
things aren't so bad.
We take control. And we don't stay powerless. And
what is it Bill W. said? Lack of power. That's our dilemma.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I was exactly like what you were saying.
Yep.
I came in beat down and powerless a whole bunch of times. And then, you know, a week of sobriety or 10 days of sobriety or 20 days of sobriety, I felt way better. I looked way better. I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll just manage it better this time. And
I got this.
This goes along to what Shelley was saying about people that aren't recognizing their unmanageability. I'm like, oh, I just need to do it different this time, which never worked.
So, Bruce, how do you have a sponsee work the first step?
It kind of depends. It depends on if it's someone that's here for the first time or someone that's gone in and out. Because one of the first things
let's all start with first timers. We'll come back to retreads.
The first thing I always ask guys, why are you here? Because this is going to be a really telling question. Because if it's the guy that says, you know, I got caught by my parents smoking weed and they sent me here. Yeah, although, to be honest with you, the guy's probably not asking for a sponsor. But he could be.
My wife threatened to leave me.
Right.
My answer to them is always, what's the problem?
Another common thing is, you know, I'm doing this to get my kids back. And then that's what gives the question.
I raised four kids. You don't want them.
So that's a question where I'm like, so in other words, you know, and I'll say, you know, well, how was it? You know, it must have been horrible. It wasn't that bad. Well, why don't you have your kids?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like your life was pretty unmanageable if you can't even see your kids right now, because they just don't take away your kids for no reason. So normally I will have them write about their unmanageability. Usually, unless they tell me, if they tell me that they came because of their mom or their wife or their parent, it's completely different. If they've come because they really, truly want to get sober, they've already realized that they're alcoholics.
There's an issue.
Yeah, they already know there's a problem. And then it's to give them, you know, give me some examples of your unmanageability, read Bill's story, you know, and then we go over that. How about you, Shelley?
You're actively doing this right now, so.
I know, with new people. And I just said, okay, let's repeat this again for the fifth time. First step, read Doctor's Opinion, Bill's story. You get up to chapter two. We do chapter two together and talk about the story and the doctor's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually ask them to write a little. There's not really, and I make this very clear, nowhere in the book does it say you need to do any writing on the first step. Nowhere. That's not in the book. And I always make it really clear that anything that I say to do is a suggestion. This is not, you know, I am not the boss of you. But I do suggest that they write like a little paragraph on what happens after right after they do the first drink of the first drug. They've relapsed, they've done the first drink of the first drug. What happens every time
they do another one? I always did.
Well, no, what I'm looking for and what I usually get is a paragraph about how everything goes completely freaking sideways, and then we talk about that for 5 minutes. I say, okay, fold that piece of paper up, stick it in your purse. Next time you feel squirrely, take that piece of paper out. You don't need to go and drink or do the drug because the result is right there. So you can just skip that whole part, you know.
I'm interested about the I'm not the boss of you thing because, God, maybe it's me. At least when I was new, my sponsors were extremely clear that it's their way or the highway. You do what I say. You willing to go to any length. You do exactly what I say.
I don't know. Well, the way I look at it is I'm not trying to create people that are emotionally dependent on me. I'm trying to take people through the steps. That's my only job.
Except for you, Bruce, because she is the boss of you.
I am
no,
the boss
clearly.
Of you. Did it
she is
up
not
when
the boss
says
of me.
So. I'm done with that question. There was something interesting that I thought of when you said, oh, get your kids back. And when you're sponsoring women that are in a facility, that's a serious issue because quite a few of them have lost custody of their children.
Yeah, men too.
One of mine said an interesting thing yesterday as we were chatting. She has a son. She said, I don't think I need him back right now. He's safe where he is. He's safer where he is than he is with me. And she said, and maybe someday when I get more stable, then I can reach out and develop a relationship. But that's the first time I've ever heard a woman actually say.
She might actually have a chance.
She might.
It's very mature.
She might. So.
That's someone that knows how wrecked their life gets when they're loaded.
She's pretty wrecked.
How about you, Mark?
I have him do what my sponsor had me do. Write me a couple of paragraphs, no more than a page under any circumstances, on what surrender means to you. Because I really want them to define surrender.
That's a good idea for next Saturday.
Because by defining surrender and getting their heads moving in the right direction with surrender does not mean losing. It does mean being defeated, but it does not mean losing.
Which is a really tough concept for people.
Yeah, because people don't want to, they don't want to lose. And I've had people fight me. I had a sponsee come to me recently and say, you have to come up with another word for it besides surrender in order for this to work for me.
And you said, don't let that door hit you on the
and
way
I
out.
Fired her on the spot.
You
I
know
said,
why?
You need to go find another sponsor.
Because you were the boss of her.
Because I was the boss
fire.
Of her.
Hey, let me touch on this for a second because Mark brings up a good point and Shelley touched on it a little bit too. Writing.
Uh-huh.
Am I the only one that doesn't want like a 7-page essay on everything?
No.
I'm like, keep it simple.
I don't either.
Keep it simple.
I said a couple paragraphs, no more than a page under any circumstances.
I sponsored my friend James for a while.
Uh-huh.
And I would say, James, write me a paragraph on blah, blah, blah. He would come back with 4 freaking pages.
Yeah,
I had
another
guy named Dave, this guy Shredder.
Yep.
I said, write a little bit about such and such. He'd come back with 5 pages. I'm like, oh, man. I said, okay. From now on, when I say write me a paragraph, that means, you know, Cliff Notes it for me.
Right.
You know, because we're going to talk about it. I don't need you to describe every little. It's almost like they think they're getting a bonus if they write more.
Yeah, I'll get done better.
Like in school. It's like, I need X amount of words. I really don't. What I want to know is that you understand whatever the concept is. It could be, for first step, it's like,
yeah,
I really fucked up. I couldn't stop drinking no matter what. I need to do something else. My whole life's fucked up. Mm-hmm. Help me.
Yeah.
You know, that could do it, you know.
Yeah, because in you know, surrender is a war term. And we're fighting a war here.
Yes.
This is true, but have to stop fighting.
But to win, we have to surrender.
Yeah, because we're not going to defeat this. We've tried.
We're like Italy in World War II.
We are.
Let's surrender, then let's join the Allies and fight again against the guys we were just allied with.
For sale. 1 rifle. Never been fired. Dropped once.
Yes.
You know. Yeah, and when I can get them to understand what it means to surrender your will in life, because they can't surrender their will in life over to the care of God. They can't move to the next step until they get that absolutely.
Right.
You know, and once they get surrender, they realize that they don't have to fight anymore. And for me, the first step is just about quit fighting.
Shelley, do you ever have people that rebel against what you want them to do on step 1?
Yeah, and then I never see them again, so.
Rebel.
So I don't really have to worry about that because they wander off.
Do you not see them again because you weren't their boss and they didn't do what you told them to do?
No, because they relapsed. They wandered off in the sense that they went out to do more research.
Yeah, did that many times myself. So if you were going to, you get a now, let's switch the other way. You got someone, man, they bounced in and out like a freaking ping pong ball 100 times. You do anything different? I mean, this is someone they you know, seemingly they would know that they're supposed to be surrendered. I mean, if they've been in and out of the program a bunch of times, they've at least, most people have tried to work the first three steps. You know, many people go out around the inventory time, but, you know, do you, like, let's say you take a guy, he had 2 years, had been working steps and everything, slacked off, stopped working steps, stopped going to meetings, and drank. Do you treat that person the same way when you're doing the writing with them?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, because clearly there was something they didn't get the first time around, so they got to do it again.
Yeah, see, sometimes I'll do that differently. Because it's like I don't have to go into this big, long explanation on what surrender is. What you know, someone told me at Impact House once, because I had gone out, I don't even know, 500 times. And I told this guy in a therapy session with my caseworker.
Bruce, they don't call that going out. They call that running out.
Yeah. I
call that staying loaded.
Yeah, but there were times I'd get 30, 60 days, you know.
Oh, okay.
But, and gone through programs, all that. And I was having this meeting with this caseworker, and I said, I don't get it, man. I just have no program. And the guy looked at me, and he goes, no, you have that wrong. He goes, you have program. He goes, fuck, dude, I listened to you recite chapter 5. He goes, you have program. It's clear to me that you've been to thousands of meetings. He goes, what your problem is you don't work program when you need to work program. He goes, you know, you get that knee-jerk reaction to getting loaded.
Yeah.
He goes, you don't do anything that people in the program tell you to do at that moment when you're thinking about drinking or using. That pick up the phone and call someone, call your sponsor, go to a meeting. He goes, you don't do any of those things. It's not that you don't know to do it. You just don't do it. He goes, it's not that you don't have any program. It's that you don't utilize program when you really need to. So what do you think, Shelley?
I was thinking about the utilizing program thing when you're talking about one of the girls that I have now is, it's like her third or fourth time around. And she had done one of the other programs. She said, I've done a lot of writing. I've done this. I've done that and stuff. And I said, well, you know, I went through my whole spiel. I'm taking you through the steps. These are just suggestions, blah, blah, blah. I said, I don't do like worksheets or stuff like that. I do the first 164 pages of the book. That's what I do. And she looked at me and she said, you have 10 years. I want to do exactly what you did. I don't care what it is. If I don't have to do worksheets, that's great. But whatever it is that you got you 10 years, I want to do exactly that.
You know what my answer to that is? Don't do what I did. Do what I didn't do.
Ah, well, there you go.
I think
didn't do was relapse.
I think.
Yeah. I didn't drink. I didn't use.
Right.
Bang, done.
I think that, Shelley, in that case, you should say, you know, when I was new, my sponsor had me clean her house every day.
That would not be correct.
And bring me gifts on Fridays.
And bring me gifts. Yeah, no. No, no, no. You give it away for free and for fun.
My ex, when she was new in recovery, she got this sponsor who told her it was customary for her sponsees to give her gifts. I'm like, you need to fire her right now. You need to dump that bizotch.
If your sponsor says you should bring him a gift, bring him a beer.
And we had a Shelly and I had a similar discussion when her sponsor told Shelly, what was the thing she told you? Go up to the top of Archibald.
Oh, God,
and
no, Haven.
Haven, okay.
My starter sponsor, the one for the first 6 months before I relapsed, and she was hideous. She wanted me to do all sorts of weird things,
really weird shit.
I know.
And you know what's stupid about that is I grew up in the program, and I knew that that wasn't exactly tickety-boo. But at that point, I was so beaten down, I was like, okay, whatever.
You're willing to do anything.
I was willing to do anything because I was copying out the 12 and 12 backwards with my left hand and driving up to the top of Haven to find a patch of, you know, because way up at the top, there's like scrubland and stuff. There's nothing up there. Or at least
not
back
so much
then.
Now.
Yeah, now there's stuff. But back then, you know, 10, 11 years ago, there was nothing.
Now security is going to escort you off the grounds.
Go up to the top of Haven and sit in the dirt and put my hands on the ground and feel one with the earth. I was like, I don't remember that being in the book anywhere, but okay. But I didn't do that one. So,
Do you remember our discussion when you came back?
I think your reaction was, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
And when I was doing the copying out of the 12 and 12, I was actually starting that. We were all at coffee one night, and I'm sitting there with my book. I'm trying to write with my left hand. I'm right-handed. Oh, my God, I thought Bruce was going to pee his pants. He was laughing at me so hard.
Dude, I've never seen anything like that before. So,
that's
Mark,
funny.
If you were going to tell someone that's brand new listening to the show about how important step one is, what would you tell them?
Step one's everything.
How about you, Shelley? What would you tell people? If they're brand new, they're like, I don't get this whole step thing. What would you tell them about step one?
Your journey begins with the first step.
Man, if I'm brand new, that just sounds hokey as fuck.
Well, I don't know. What am I going to tell them about the first step?
I tell them, look.
That sounds something like from Jack Handy.
Don't drink or use.
Deep thoughts.
Go to meetings. Don't drink or use between meetings. Get a sponsor. Do what your sponsor tells you to do.
That would work.
Done.
So let's turn it around a little bit then.
Okay.
So overall, Shelley, what would your final words on step one be?
Overall?
Yeah.
Well, if you can't get step one, you're not going to stick around. So I'd put some effort into it if I were you.
Yeah, good. Mark?
Find out if you're powerless or just short-circuited.
I kind of go along with what Mark was saying to the newcomer. It's like, step one is everything, because without step one, you're not going to get anything else, because you won't stay.
Recovery 101.
If you are Facebook friendly, you can easily like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. We put links to shows up there. If you'd like to join the secret group, you can ask at the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page by messaging us there. You can message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper. They will get you added to that group, and you can interact with people you hear about on the show, like Fantastic and Bill Piper and Robert and you know, a variety pack of other people. If you want to become lead out entertainment, whether it's comedy or music or something, and you're in a band and you're sober, or you know, at least a couple of the people in the band are sober, you can send us some MP3s. That's a preferred format. Send us a picture you'd like us to turn into a clickable link, and then send us a web address you'd like that clickable link to go to, whether it's YouTube or SoundCloud or Reverb Nation or Facebook or wherever, and we will do that for you for free and for fun. Did I say recovery101radio@gmail? Okay.
Sure.
Because that's where you send that other stuff to. You can also send boozy news there, and then that was that. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelley.
Yes.
Who's the lead on music? Bye.
Amp, another misguided prophet.
Every Amp. It sounds like someone that would do meth.
Yeah.
My name's Amp. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
Take care of you.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. When I speak, I only give you facts. That's because I want to help, not turn my back. So when I speak about my addiction, just know that grip is vicious. Yes, my story's real, not fictitious. So if you're listening, hey, you really need some help. Hear my words carefully, cause I done been through hell. Total cars, gun violence, I'm a lost soul. While I'm still alive, only the Lord knows. While I'm writing this song, yeah, I feel them all around me. Yeah, them demons wanna hold me back and then drown me. 23rd Psalm, read it repeatedly. When them devils crawl, no way they seeing me. I thank the Lord for treating the murder was on my mind. Ski mask on my head, just waiting for the time. Then I see my phone ring, it's her hitting my line. She said I sound different, the devil's in my mind. Oh Lord, help me find a way out. Mentally, I'm stuck in a bad place now. My heart's lost, I'm reaching out for you right now. I'm torn, struggling with my life now. Oh Lord, help me find a way out. Mentally, I'm stuck in a bad place now. My heart's lost, I'm reaching out for you right now. I'm torn, struggling with my life now. If you need help, go get help, don't be ashamed. I want to save as many people as I can, man. Slept in parking lots, dodging cops, I was high. Planning for tomorrow? Really, I think not. Pain and tears, what I seen, looking in the mirror. Wipe the water from my eyes so I can see it clear. Friends and role models, dead and gone, not here. So the conscience in my soul gon' disappear. I'm putting trust in my God, so I walk with no fear. No longer the driver of my life, I let go and he steers. When I'm hurt, I just pray, he touches and heals. When I'm angry, he listens and knows how I feel. When he speaks, he says, sit down, child, and be still. I know he sees that fire in me while holding my steel. If I get to moving crazy, it might get real. Read the 7th Psalm and it gave me chills. Oh, Lord, help me find a way out. Mentally, I'm stuck in a bad place now. My heart's lost, I'm reaching out for you right now. I'm torn, struggling with my life now.